chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Last week we were in verse 19 talking about the Lord when he died going to preach to the spirits, and talked about those spirits and what they've done, and I've had a lot of comments since my last Sunday school lesson. It's amazing how many comments you can get, and I didn't think people listened. That's people in here, people on the radio that talked to me and said, "Hey, I heard this, this, and this, and what did you mean by all that?" And I said, I'm just saying. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, one verse that I did forget to mention last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and that goes with last week's lesson, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is the Apostle Paul here. He's talking to the church at Corinth. And he's really been on them in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 Corinthians 11. He wrote them another letter. And he's really worried about them. And look what he says here in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11, 1. He says, "Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband." Talking about Christ. He said, "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And what he's talking about there, and he's I'm talking about going to these people getting saved, and he's worried about people coming in and messing them up. And in the Bible there, when you leave the Lord and go to do something else, God considers it adultery. And he says there, he says, "I've espoused you to one husband." And he said, "I'm wanting to present you as a chaste virgin." And he says in verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means," and look what he uses as an illustration here, "lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And the point that you're making here right here is how he used the context here of a chaste virgin and being beguiled and using Eve and the serpent there as an illustration. And just to throw that out there with you there and to go along with last week's lessons. Now, look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter 3, 20. And he says this, "Which sometime were disobedient," talking about those spirits there, when we're talking about it was happening during the days of Noah. He said, "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." And so there in verse 20, in verse 21 right there, you're going to have a church of Christ that's going to go to that verse there and say, "Baptism saves you." And according to that right there, those eight souls there were saved by water. And in verse 21 it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." So it does save us. And look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. So right there, baptism does save us. That's what it says, taking it at face value. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Talking about being saved over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, 19 and 20 and 21. In Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13, the Bible says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So there, you're saved by enduring to the end. So now, are you saved by baptism, or are you saved by enduring to the end? I'll look over at Acts chapter 15. Get Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now what happens is that these different religions, they have scripture, and what they do is they take a verse and they show it to you. Now, The problem is that I can show you a verse, somebody can show me a verse, somebody else can show them a verse, everybody can get a verse. We've all got a verse, we can show everybody a verse. And what happens is we all look at those verses and we say, well, look at this right here. Well, yeah, but look at this right here. Well, yeah, but look at this right here. And when you get somebody who can reconcile all the verses, because we know this, that the Bible's not going to contradict itself. And what happens is that you can get in an argument with somebody, and I can sit here and say, you got to endure to the end to be saved. And somebody else can say, well, you got to be, water's going to save you. 1 Peter chapter 3, it's water. And somebody else says, well, no, it's enduring to the end. Or somebody else says, no, it's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've all got Scripture. So what do you do with that? What do you do with it? You know, it just comes down to opinion. Well, I just like this verse here. Well, I just like this verse here. And the point is this right here. When it comes to heaven and hell, you better be right. I mean, it can't just be, I like this verse and I like this verse. You know, it don't have nothing to do with what you like. It's got to do with the Bible. And you better be right. You better be right. Acts chapter 15, look at verse 1. The Bible says this. Acts 15, 1. He says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, now, wait a second. Is it enduring to the end? Is it circumcision? Or is it baptism? Which one is it? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 2:12. The Bible says this. Well, let's read verse 11. I like verses like this. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. No wonder nobody likes me. Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. There you go, guys. You're in trouble. She's going to be saved by having kids. What are you going to do wrong, Cook? You're lost. You're on your way to hell, brother. So let's see. Is it baptism? Is it enduring to the end? Is it circumcision? Is it having kids? What is it that take? What does it take to get you saved? What is it? Well, let's look at Acts 15. We're in 15. Look at verse 11. Well, we was in 1 Timothy 2, wasn't we? Go back to Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts 15, look at verse 11. He says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. So now it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that you're going to get saved. It's through grace. It's through grace. Now, look at... get Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. So you got grace through the Lord Jesus Christ there in Acts 15. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there in verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8, he says it's grace that you're saved through faith. Go to Titus. Get the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, and look at verse 5. Titus 3, 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there you see that it's it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. So His mercy there is what saves us. Get Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And the reason that we're going to all these verses this morning is so when somebody throws a verse out there and you don't know the answer to it, is to realize that there is a whole lot more going on in this Bible than just today. And again, we as Americans, we like to think that our life is what God's worried about, and the whole world revolves around us, and that's what we look at. But God's dealing with a whole lot of different things in this Bible. Acts chapter 11. Now look at verse 14. Acts 11:14. He says, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" And so there you're going to be saved by words. You're going to be saved by words. And the Bible says that you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You're born again by the Word of God. You say, "Brother Jack, you ain't shed a bit of light on 1 Peter chapter 3. You've confused us all." And the reason that I'm wanting to do that is for this reason here, is to show you what baptism's for. And I know here in the Trinity Baptist Church this morning, you realize that water baptism's not going to save you. You realize that. But sometimes you may not know where all the verses are, and you may not be able to show somebody else, so it's good to know that. And those listening by the radio this morning, you just never know what somebody else is going through. So we need to go through this and show some things here. Look and get the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In Exodus chapter 20, what happened was God gave them the law. And you have to go by the law. And the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And you say, "How does that happen?" Well, the law shows us that we're sinners. That's how it happens. Anybody that's honest with themselves and they get the law and they start trying to say, "Okay, I've got to keep the law to be saved," it don't take any time if they're going to be honest with themselves to realize, "I didn't make the cut. I can't keep the law. I can't do all of it." And so the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And that's where you get circumcision at. And the Jews there, that's what they wanted to do. They thought you should have that circumcision is going to save you. And they said, if you can't keep the law, you're not going to be able to be saved. So that's where that Acts chapter 15, 1 came into. Now here in Luke chapter 16, that was the law and that was the prophets there. In Luke chapter 16, look down at verse 16. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And okay, so right here in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, you've got three different places here. Three different things going on. It says the law and the prophets were until John. Okay, so you had the law and the prophets and you had John. After John, it says, since that time the kingdom of God is preached. All right, so you've got the law and the prophets, you've got John, you've got the kingdom of the kingdom of God being preached after that. And we know that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, all right? And the kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. So here you go, you've got these three different places here, three different ways people are getting saved. You say, what do? You got to find out where you're at in all this. And you say, well, how do you do that? All you got to do is read the Bible. You just got to read the Bible and you got to follow through it. Look over in, get Matthew, get Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Now, there's some rules here that you need to realize. If I ask you this morning what the gospel was, could you tell me what the gospel is this morning? The gospel, somebody said, what's the gospel? The gospel's not a singing group. It's not singing. The gospel's not just something that's going to make you happy. It's not just any kind of good news. It's a certain type of good news. And the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? Now that's how you get saved, believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation. And so you need to know that, because here in Matthew chapter 3, look what it says. Verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So he's preparing the way for who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's not hard to figure out, okay? So he's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if he's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, then who's not there yet? The Lord. The Lord's not there yet, all right? So that's good. You need to remember that. He says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. All right, now, if you go out and get baptized today trying to do the same thing that they were doing with John, there's one problem here. There's no way you can believe in the death, burial, and resurrection right there, because it hadn't happened. Jesus Christ hadn't even showed up yet. So the death, burial, and resurrection, the way the gospel is right here, you see it's something different than what we preach today. And it says that the law and the prophets, that circumcision was over when John shows up. Now, you've got a thing called a progressive revelation. And when the Jews were in the wilderness, you know what they had? They had everybody together, just like we do right now at Trinity Baptist Church. Everybody's together. If we're going to change something, if we were going to change the times right now, you know what we'd do? We'd say, okay, get everybody together. We're going to tell everybody, look, the time of service tonight, instead of being at 6 o'clock, we're going to start at 7 o'clock. And we'd have everybody here together, and we could do that. And some people ain't here, so they'd be progressive to them. They'd show up at 15 after 6, and they'd find out that they're 45 minutes early. And so you'd kind of be a progressive. Well, what happened in the wilderness was God had Israel together. He had everybody together out there in the wilderness, and He gave the law. And from that time on, He said, look, this is it. Bam, it's there. Well, when Jesus Christ shows up, everybody's dispersed. And He's not just going to the Jews at that time. He's going to everybody. And so what you have is you've got some people who've been keeping the law. You've got some people now who's believing in water baptism to get you saved. And now you've got Peter in Acts chapter 11 who gets shown a different way. In Acts chapter 10, he's preaching water baptism and they get the Holy Ghost before he gets to baptize them. And he's trying to figure out what went on. So now you've got another group there. And you say, what's the problem? God didn't get everybody together and say, okay, look, it stopped. Here's the way we're doing everything. And so it was progressively changing through the book of Acts, and you're going to see there's some problems through there. And here in Matthew chapter 3, water baptism is that's the way they're confessing their sins. Look at Mark chapter 1. Get Mark chapter 1. All these different ways here that we're talking about confessing your sins or being saved or whatever, they're taken care of in the Bible, though. They're shown why they're not there anymore. In Mark chapter 1, it's the same scripture here. Look what he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And then in verse 5 it says, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So that's what was going on then. During the time of John, that's what was going on, that baptism there. And you see that. And you see that going on. In Matthew chapter 24, we saw where that enduring to the end was going on. Look back at Matthew chapter 24. Over to your left a little bit. Matthew 24. So there's definitely, you see the stuff there. You can't just say that it don't exist. You say, well, what do you do? What you do is you reconcile everything. You got to reconcile it. You can't, even we can't just sit here and say, well, I like this better. I'm going to do this right here. Or say, well, I'm going to get circumcised. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to endure to the end. I mean, you can't just pick all of them either. You can't just try to get them all together and do that. What you got to do is figure out what God's telling you. In Matthew chapter 24, look what he says in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All right, the first thing you want to ask yourself is the end of what? Everybody says the end of your life. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. What he's talking about, he's talking about the tribulation. That's what he's talking about. Look up at verse 5. Matthew 24, verse 5, he says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So you see right there, the end is not yet. So you know this much, he's not talking about a person's life. He's talking about a period of time. Look down in verse 29. After all this stuff happens, look in verse 29 what he says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And so you see right there, it's the tribulation. After the tribulation, the Son of Man is going to appear in verse 30. But you see there, it's the tribulation, what he's talking about in Matthew 24. And so we're not in the tribulation right now. So guess what? Matthew 24 don't apply to us. It does not apply to us. It does apply to people during the tribulation. Look over at Revelation chapter 14. Get Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 13, what happens is the Antichrist shows up and you're going to have to put a mark in your hand or your forehead. You're not going to be able to buy or sell or do any of that stuff unless you have that. Now look over unless you accept that mark. Look in Revelation chapter 14. That's going to happen during the tribulation. Now look at Revelation 14. And look at verse 11. And talking about the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and ever. Revelation 14, verse 11. He says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." That's talking about people that got put in the lake of fire. He says, Who are these? "Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." So the context of 14 there is the tribulation. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So during the tribulation there, what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to endure the end. You're going to have to keep the faith of Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to keep the law. You're going to have to do these things. You're going to have to try to keep from sinning. And now you're going to have to endure the end. That's Matthew chapter 24. We're not in the tribulation right now. This ain't the tribulation. You say, well, how do you know? We'll just read Revelation chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and see what's happening, and believe what the Bible says, and look around and say, you know what? It ain't going on. Ain't hard to figure out. This ain't the tribulation. And besides that, we're not going to see the tribulation. And if the rapture happens, we're going to be out of here. We're going to heaven. Jesus Christ is coming back to get us. So right now in Matthew 24:13, where it says, "The same shall be saved," you know what you can say? Ain't got nothing to do with me. Are there going to be some people that saved that way? Yes, there is. There sure is. But it ain't going to be none of us sitting here in this thing today. So what are you trying to do? We're going to reconcile all these verses. That's what we're doing. Matthew chapter 24, 13. All right, now, back to the baptism there. We're talking about this baptism. Go to, get Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And as I said before, all this stuff's fixed in the Bible. Acts chapter 18. Over there in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking about a fella. His name's Apollos. And you know what Apollos is doing? He's preaching the Word of God. And Apollos is a good guy. And he's leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a time in Apollos' life where he's messed up. He was a water dog. He was Church of Christ. Acts chapter 18. He's doing the best he can. He loves the Lord. He's got as much life that's been given to him. That's what he's doing. Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 24. Acts 18, 24. The Bible says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord." You say, well, praise the Lord. What a man. Well, look what it says. Knowing only what? The baptism of John. That's all he knew. That's all he's preaching. So what happens? Verse 26, it says, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." Now you see there? See there? They believed through what? Grace. That's another way you get saved, other than the baptism of John. And so what happened to John? John didn't have a lot of pride to him, did he? You know why? Because they took the Word of God and they said, look here, Apollos, you know, you're doing a good job, you're in the Scriptures, you're doing all this stuff, but you're messed up. Water baptism ain't saving us no more, buddy. Here's what you need. We need grace. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Apollos changes and he takes over and he's right off the reel there. That's what he's doing. And look back at Acts chapter 10. You say, what happened? What happened? Get Acts chapter 10, hold your place, and get Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 38. The Bible says this, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." All right, that's Peter preaching. What's he preaching? Water baptism. And he says you're going to receive the gift when? After you're what? Baptized. He says you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost after you're baptized. Acts 2:38. Read it again. "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 1. A man here named Cornelius. And Cornelius is a Gentile. He's an Italian. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon Peter, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. All right, so he's praying. He's praying to God. He's a devout man. He feared God. He's trying to do right. Now, in Acts chapter 10, go down to verse 9. It says, On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, Peter, that's the one in Acts chapter 2 that says you got to be baptized to be saved. All right. It says, And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descended unto him, and it had been as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, all Peter knows is that in the Old Testament, he's not supposed to eat nothing like that. All right, and that's what he knows. That's all he knows. All right, in Acts chapter 2, he was preaching water baptism. All right, look what it says. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted himself what this vision was, which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am him who ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they go through, and they tell him this story. And they say, Listen, you know, Cornelius was wanting to get close to God. God said, Go to Simon Peter, and he's going to tell you what you need to do. Look down in verse 34. It says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You say, Why? Because God was a respecter of persons before that. Wasn't he? To who? To the Jews. And so Peter's realized now, because of this vision, God's not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he goes on to preach there, and he talks about the gospel right there in 39, 40, and 41. Look down in verse 44. It says, While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So now all the people's looking. You got these Gentiles who ain't part of this, and they're getting the Holy Ghost. It's poured out on these Gentiles. And not only that, it happened before they were baptized. Look what he says. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? See, they've done got the Holy Ghost. Now he's going to baptize them afterwards. Now what does all this mean? What did all this happen? I can look into all this and tell you and make all this up to and tell you what happened and what it was all about, but we don't have to. The next chapter tells you. Because all these Jews get mad. Look at verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them. So he goes through this whole deal and tells all these things that happened to him in this trance. Now look down in verse 14, starting verse 13. Well, let's start in verse 12. It says, And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon Peter, whose surname is Peter, or Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." So you see the difference right there? Peter got the message. You say, what happened to the message? The message changed. It changed right there. Peter tells you the message changed. Look over in Acts chapter 1. Hold your place right there. Get Acts chapter 1. Peter's got this baptism of John on his head. Apollos had the baptism of John on his head. They were having to be fixed on this thing that the baptism of John wasn't getting it anymore. Look in Acts chapter 1 in verse 5. The Jesus Christ here, he's talking to these disciples. And look what he says in verse 5. He says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now what does that mean? Peter's going to tell us. Go back to Acts chapter 11. Verse 14, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Lord ever gave you something in a message and you think there's something to it, but you just ain't quite for sure what it is. And somebody else preaches another message, and after two or three messages you begin to realize what God's wanting you to do. Peter's starting to get all this stuff connected right here. And look in verse 15, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as that on us at the beginning." Then look what he says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." You say, what happened? It changed. It changed. Water baptism ain't getting it cut no more. You ain't confessing your sins with water baptism anymore. Now it's these words that they tell you. Look down in verse 19. Look at the end of verse 19. It says, "Preaching the word." Preaching the word. Look down in verse 20. "Preaching the Lord Jesus Christ." Now you see what's going on now? They're beginning to teach. They're beginning to preach the word of God. That's the difference. Here's what you got. You got the law and the prophets were until John. All right? Then what happens with John? He preaches water baptism. And they were having to live by the law in the Old Testament. All right? And John showed up, what were they having to do? They were having to confess their sins. And they were having to be baptized. All right? Then what happens? Jesus Christ dies, is buried, and rises again the third day. That's the gospel. Then what we got to do? We got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just by words now. It's just by words. Well, when Jesus Christ comes back to get us that's saved during the church age, then what's going to happen? Then the tribulation's going to show up. What do you got to do? You got to endure the end to be saved. Now see, here's the difference. You go talk to a church of Christ, they're not going to give you all that stuff. You know what they're going to tell you? Water baptism, water baptism, water baptism. They're going to show you the verses that says you got to be saved by water baptism. And you talk to a church of God that says you can lose your salvation, they're going to show you endure the end. They're not going to give you anything. You can show them Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What are they going to say to that? They're going to give you another verse showing you can lose your salvation. They're not going to explain that verse to you. You know what you need? You need to find somebody that can take all these verses and reconcile them. Why? Because the Bible don't contradict itself. It does not contradict itself. So here in Acts chapter 11, what happens is that Peter says, this is what's going to happen. And there's such a point to it. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 1. John the Baptist was sent for the purpose of baptizing. Is that right? Yeah. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was sent for the purpose to baptize. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul. This is what he thought about baptism. Look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 1:14 says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Why? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The gospel is. Look over at, get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You say, so we're not baptized now? Yeah, you're baptized. According to Acts chapter 11, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's what he said over there. That's what Peter said. He said, that's what the Lord. Then I remember the words of the Lord. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all" what? "Baptized into one body. You're baptized by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what baptizes you. When you believe on the words that's preached to you, the gospel, you believe on those words right there, as soon as that happens, you're baptized in the body of Jesus Christ. Not by any, no water, it has nothing to do with it. It happens right then. Just like in Acts chapter 10, when Peter's sitting there and he's preaching those people in Acts chapter 10, you know what happens? They believed. While he's sitting there listening, they believed what he said. What happened to them? They got saved. Right there, right then, they got saved. Before they were baptized. And it changes. What happens is it changes. And so this baptism to get saved, was there a time when John was preaching a baptism for repentance? Well, sure there was. Was there a time when you had to go by the law? Well, sure there was. Now, what about, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What about having a baby? Whoo, what dispensation is that? I think that goes with last week's message. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The question is saved from what? What are you saved from? And that's a good question. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look down in verse 11. The Bible says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression." So the context is about being deceived. It says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." She's going to be saved from what? Being deceived. You say, how is having a kid going to keep you from being deceived? What's that got to do with anything? Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll show you. See, what happens is, in the day of what we have, all this communication that's going on, when we've got email and we've got Facebook and we've got Twitter or Tweeter or whatever all this stuff is, and we've got all this other stuff. I don't even know what all these things are that we've got. And we've got 200, 300, 600, 700 channels on TV. There's so much communication, so much stuff that can get you distracted today and get your mind off of what you need to be on and get you doing something else. And what the devil does is he uses all these mediums he's got in the world to get you distracted. Once he gets you distracted, then guess what he's going to do? He's going to deceive you. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look in verse 9, talking about a widow. Look what he says. "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." All right, so what it's got to do with is a widow being taken care of, they need to be at least 60 years old. And look what he tells these younger women to do. If they're a widow, look in verse 11. "But the younger widows refuse." Well, that's kind of mean, ain't it? Why is he saying refuse these? "For when they have begun to wax wanton," when you ain't taking care of these young ladies and helping them and paying everything for them and making it where they don't have to work and they don't have to take care of themselves and they ain't got anything to do, when you get to where they're like that, guess what they're going to do? Look at it. Look what it says. "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house." You see, when you start giving welfare out, I'm going to tell you what happens. You can sit home all day long and you can watch TV and you can watch soap operas. And you can sit home all day long and you can wait for your check and for your food stamps, you can wait for all that stuff and you don't have anything you got to do with life. You know what's going to happen? You're going to become idle. And when you become idle, you know what's going to happen to you? The devil's going to deceive you. Look in 1 Timothy there, and look in verse 13. He says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies." You say, what is? They're on the computer talking to friends, and they're gossiping and telling this what's going on, and just spending hours and hours at a computer. And what are they doing? They're not praying with their kids. They're not trying to win anybody to Lord Jesus Christ. They're not trying to ask anybody to come to church. They're not trying to pray and get close to God. They're not worried about being a blessing to the pastor. They're not worried about being a blessing to missionaries. They're not worried about what they can do at church to be a blessing to other people. You say, what are they doing? They're just involved in these little things that they're doing. And what happens to them? They become tattlers and busybodies. Did you hear about so-and-so? Or did you hear about someone? What did you? Where'd you hear about it at? Well, so-and-so sent me an email the other day, and they told me that da-da-da-da. And then you can see it, and you get on that internet, and it's just passing this gossip back and forth. That's all it is. They're tattlers. You know what we do? We tell our kids not to be that way. Then we get a $1 billion corporation, this internet, all this stuff that's going on. You know what it's for? It's just a big place where we can all gossip and pretend like we're staying close to each other. We're not staying close to each other. We're staying up on the news is what we're staying up on. I'm not telling you that it's bad and you can't keep up with friends that you're not around. That's a good thing. But you know what you got to do? Just like you do with anything else in life, is you got to keep things in check, because God said this right here. He said, if you become idle, the devil's going to get you. Look what he says. He says, I will therefore that younger women marry and what? Bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Why? For some are already turned aside after Satan. And let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You start having kids. You start having to raise a kid. You're in the middle of doing stuff for your children. You're busy keeping your house and doing those things. You say, well, I got to work a job. You know why you're working a job? You're working a job to get things done for your kids and for your husband and for your house. And when you do all that stuff and you're staying close to God, guess what you're doing? You're keeping your mind from being a place in the gutter where the devil can come in and can mess you up. You look at these people that all they do all day long, they ain't got nothing to do except sit around and wait for somebody to take care of them, and it's just gossip and it's tattling and that's all it is. And they get to be in a mess. And that's being saved right there in verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. It's talking about being saved from being deceived. What happened to Eve? Eve was in a place where she shouldn't be, around a tree that she was commanded not to eat from, and looking at that thing and wondering what's going on, talking to somebody she ain't supposed to be talking to. And what happened? She got deceived. How many times has these women... I was talking to a guy the other day, and I'm sitting here saying, you know, well, how's everything going? Well, my wife left me. What happened? I didn't even hear nothing. Well, she got talking to another man on the internet. Gone. She's someplace she shouldn't be. You know, men get on that internet, there they are, they're looking at pornography, looking at this stuff, doing something they shouldn't. What happened to David? The Bible says, in a time when kings go forth to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. He's in a place he shouldn't be. And you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to eat your lunch. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. It ain't just women. Look at chapter 4. Look what he tells Timothy, this young minister. He says, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know what he's telling that preacher? He said, quit preaching about working for God and get busy, preacher. That's what he's saying. He said, quit talking about visitation and go. Quit talking about street preaching and go. Quit talking about having faith and start having faith. Quit talking about reading your Bible and read your Bible, preacher. That's what he's saying. Mom, quit telling your kids to pray if you ain't going to pray. Dad, quit telling your kids to witness if you ain't going to witness. That's what he's saying. He says, why? You say, why is he saying all this? He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Read your Bible. Exhortation. Go to church, to doctrine. Learn some things about the Bible. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. You know what? You got something inside you that God's given you to do for Jesus Christ. And he's saying, neglect not that gift. I talked to a young lady or to a man the other day on visitation. He said, I've got a little girl. She's completely deaf. I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I said, I wish we had something in our church for her. I said, but we don't. I said, I don't know sign language. God ain't give me a gift of sign language. Maybe he has you. I don't know. But you know what he's saying? Neglect not the gift that is in you. Maybe you can sing. Maybe you can teach. You say, I just get tired of just all the rat. I get tired of having to deal with all the... Well, of course you get tired. Because you're backslid and you're interested in the things of the world. And the devil's come in and he's messed you up. Look what he says. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. You got a gift? Give yourself wholly to your gift. I don't know what it is you can do. God does. We don't need 500 preachers. We need some people that know how to teach. We need some people that can just be nice and go fix somebody a meal that's going through a hard time. Hey, you got a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but you need to give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in them what? This gift, this doctrine, those things up there of reading, exhortation, and doctrine, being an example in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He's saying, continue in them. Why? For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I ain't talking about getting saved. That's talking about being saved from getting messed over by the devil. Look in chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? All right? You've got to be all those things if you're going to be a preacher. And if you're not all those things, what's the deal? If you're not all those things, are you not allowed to be a preacher? That's what they say. You've got to be the husband of one wife. Well, I've got news for you. There's a whole lot more in them verses right there than just being married one time. There's a whole lot more than that. Now look at that. Blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, no striker, not given to wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, patient. See right there, I'm done. Patience. That's over. Done. Not a brawler. Not covetous. Done. I'm finished. I read through this one time, and it said a bishop then must be. And I read that, and I said, God, now listen. It says that I've got to be this, God, and you know I'm covetous. You know I am. What's the deal? Because, God, if I can't be a preacher, I want to know. I'm serious. I mean, I'm serious about the Word of God. I'm sitting here and I'm praying as a young preacher, and I'm saying, God, I know I'm covetous. And God, I know I'm not patient. And God, I could be a brawler. It's been a long time since I've been in a fight, but it's just the grace of God. Because I would have. There's been times I would have. And so I'm reading this, I'm thinking, God, what does this mean? Does this mean I can't be a preacher? You show me where it says that. He says, you must be this. Now look, not a novice, okay? You can't be a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, what does moreover mean? That means in addition to. That's what a moreover means. In addition, he must have. So all these things that he's got so far, plus he must have a good report of them which are without. Now, the question is, or what? Or the Southern Baptist Convention tells you you can't be a preacher. Or the deacon committee gets you together and says, oh, we can't have a preacher that's just got been married more than once. That ain't what it says. That ain't what it says. He says, you've got to be all these things, or what? Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The reason you've got to be all those things as a preacher has nothing to do with being qualified to be a preacher. It has all to do with staying out of condemnation and falling in the snare of the devil. The whole point of that chapter right there has nothing to do with being qualified to be a preacher. It has to do with the devil eating your lunch. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the reason it's telling you not to be idle and be a busybody, you can be a tattler and all this other stuff, is because the devil's going to get you. The reason he tells you not to neglect the gift that's in you, he said you can be saved from the devil, from you getting in a snare of the devil. That's all this stuff right here, being saved here. Just because it says saved doesn't mean it's talking about being born again. And you got all these different things it talks about being saved, and what you got to do is you got to read the context of these things. And I'll be honest with you, I was ready to give up the ministry. I was serious. I'm saying, God, if I'm going to say I believe this King James Bible from cover to cover, and it says I must be this, God, you know I'm covetous. God, you know I'm not patient. God, you know I'd be a brawler if I could. If I had the guts and wasn't scared to fight, I'd fight. Sometimes I say, I can't fight you, I'm a Christian. Dilbert tell a story one time when he was in school. This guy's wanting to fight him, and this guy's scared to death. He said, I can't fight you, I'm a Christian. That's me, man. I get scared. But you know what? If that's really what that means, I'm going to quit preaching. And it ain't what it means. And so what you got to do, go back to 1 Peter 3 and we'll finish. Finish up 1 Peter 3. And that right there, it says in the context in 1 Peter 3, it ain't talking about putting the filth of the flesh off of you. It ain't talking about salvation. It's talking about a good conscience. You say, well, how do you know it's talking about a good conscience? Well, that's what it says. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Amen. Let's take a break.